When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, Matt, fellow adventurers, we are playing as Sir Croakington, and we will be going to the Fairy Falls in the Moonlight Wake Legion in Western Tysa. Spilling out over the rim of a cliffside pool formed by the outflow of a subterranean river, Fairy Falls splashes down onto nearly 100 feet onto a broad, stone-winged basin from which it funnels underground to resume its interminable journey. The flat, square stones encircling the churning basin each bear an engraved depiction of a Tysian town or city. Nearby, towering over the surrounding forest, is a grand monument honouring the legendary adventurer Adusa. Okay, so this is another one of those Tysons of Telsa monuments, which you commissioned from the GM, along with one of those special taverns, for a lot of physical real world cash money. But now it is. And of course, because they took so much work, there's a very limited number of them in game. I'm not sure if they're all in game now, all the taverns and all the statues. But they might be. Hard to tell, because obviously I'm not the GM. I don't know how many were sold. Visit Adusa's monument. With the splash of the falls ringing in your ears, you make your way through the forest towards the towering monument of Adusa. The towering monument Adusa, erected in honour of the famed adventurer, soars above the thick tangle of forest out of which it majestically rises. The statue, standing atop a circular base, depicts a slender but imposing figure of an armour-clad woman, her feet planted a shoulder-width apart. Long, tumbling locks of hair flow from her head, spilling elegantly over her shoulders and draping themselves upon her leaf torso. Her raised white hand clutches the engraved hilt of a fearsome longsword. Her left hand, lowered and centred upon her midriff, holds the legendary shield Thargrek, the front of which bears an engraving of a scowling, battle-scarred face. Adusa's eyes, the centrepieces of her arresting countenance, seem almost alive, their gentle shape betraying just a hint of mirth, a sentiment echoed by the spirited smile adorning her face. I can examine the inscription. The inscription carved along the bottom edge of one of the massive stone blocks supporting the towering statue seems to cryptically refer to a reward awaiting anyone able to scale the 150-foot monument. Does the 150-foot include the base, or is it 150-foot from the top of the base? Not quite sure. Glancing up at... Anyway, it's ridiculously big, either way. Glancing up at the dizzying heights to which the statue soars, begin to consider the very notion of such a climb to border on madness, which is why Sir Croakington isn't going to do that. Because also, the statues all climb the same way. Pretty much. You know, there's a tiny little difference in the meeting with the mysterious guy at the top, but I don't think there's not really enough difference to go through it again, especially since I've already climbed one statue, and I'm sure there's quite a few statues being climbed by Zoop. I haven't bundled them all together because, it just hasn't occurred to me to just have one episode of dust climbing statues. Because maybe. I mean, if someone asked, then I'll do it, but yeah. I mean, there's no... Oh yeah, and you see different things from the top. But nah. You want to see what's at the top, you'll have to climb it yourself. Step back from the base of the statue. Move away from the monument. Okay, not much going on here. Yeah, unlike some of the other statue areas, there's no little event to do, or things to find, or anything, any sort of skills, or anything to keep it, anything extra. This is a pretty default, yeah. Default Titans of Stelsa statue. Still impressive, but from a doing stuff outline, not that much to it. You can just look at it, be impressed, climb it, get your cubes. And thank whoever's character is, whoever has Adusa as one of their characters for supporting the GM. Thank you, Adusa, for supporting the GM. Okay, but far more excitingly is the Bubbling Cauldron. Visit the Bubbling Cauldron. Oh no! My Charger Baroness is fatigued. That means my stats have gone down slightly. I can't be having that. Alright, time to let my horse have a little rest. Probably in an attached stable or something near the Bubbling Cauldron. And there. And now the horse is fine. And I can go back to the Bubbling Cauldron with my +1 to MRSP and Neville rating. I mean, it's so easy to do that you might as well. Even though my melee rating is so high that everything's a 3+, except for impossibly difficult super fights. And at the highest levels of the battlegrounds challenges, and of course scale foes where melee rating doesn't matter. And SP Neville Reserve pretty much never runs out. And the SP's high enough, you've got a bit of a cushion, but you could do it more. I mean, probably the SP might be the stat where raising it would make the most difference in your game. Because having a high SP means you can last longer between having to heal. And in battle, where you're healing isn't quite as good, it just means you just have more endurance. And the GM's apparently updated today, because the version is 2004-04-6.2. Well, whatever you've done, GM, good job. Okay, we're at the bubbling cauldron, sitting just off the winding road that runs past nearby Fairy Falls. The bubbling cauldron, a picturesque deep paleo den owned by the famed adventurer Dusa, has become a favourite haunt for adventurers, for travellers and locals seeking a friendly, tranquil retreat. The tidy structure resembles a large thatched-roofed cottage. It's surrounded by a well-kept flower garden that seems to be in perpetual bloom. Yeah, this looks like a really nice place to visit. The winding stone path, accentuated at regular intervals by ornate iron lamppost, snakes through the vibrant flora and ends at the cauldron's engraved front door. Well, let's enter the bubbling cauldron. The soft crackle of the bubbling cauldron's central fire pit, over which cat hat dangles a collection of steaming and often bubbling paleo kettles, mingles with the soft murmur of conversations between the den's gathered patrons. The cauldron's keeper, Talibrel, a one-eyed retired adventurer, oversees day-to-day operation of the paleo den for its owner, the illustrious Adusa, whose heroic adventures are far too numerous to mention here. And it just so happens that a lot of them are the same adventures that Sir Croakington did. But I'm going to assume that there's unique adventures that only the bards know about. With the help of half a dozen servers and two dedicated brewers, Talibro digitally tends to the needs of those who step into the cauldron in search of respite and a splendid drop or two of some of the world's best paleo. Right, there's things to do here. I can speak with Talibrel. Talibrel is affable enough, for he senses he has little time for idle chatter. Yeah, makes sense. This is a very busy place, and prefers to diligently tend to the many tasks requiring her capable hands. Despite her reluctance to engage in banter, she does give you a brief but interesting account of an adventure she had several years ago in the western region of Haugugon. Ooh, I've never been there. So I'm interested. Well, that's about all there is to that tale, she says, adjusting her pouch, clutching her worst eye. Now, if you'll excuse me, I've some things to get done. Now, curious, now, I wonder if we talk to her again, does she have a different adventure? Northwest region, southeast region of Tysa. Yeah, it just changes. Northwest region of Wildsell. Oh yeah, it just randomizes which countries her adventures were in. Exciting, because I mean, in Swift, well, other than Neverness excursions, which are their own thing. The only time we really leave the kingdom is possibly during one of the adventures after you get to the bottom of the Mad. And when you go to the city-state of Cardson. Yeah, I mean, we stay mainly in this kingdom, which, of course, makes sense. It's where we're from, so we'll deal with this place's problems first, unless something is waved in front of our faces, just because it's there and we can see the problems, and it's quicker to get to it. And presumably, all the other kingdoms have their own adventurers who are wandering around fighting all the problems there. I mean, we can assume. We don't meet them because they're most, well, we might meet them. Well, okay, well, actually, yeah, we do do meet an adventurer from another kingdom, and that's Wundle. He's from Wysolio, and he has done a lot of stuff. Yes, and well, I hope we see him again someday. When we can get Nirith and Trail Talk, and then we can all meet up at the Silver Crest and have some nice paleo and talk about all the things that we've done since we last met. And put a load of dead monsters' heads on the walls. Alright. Order food and drink. As with most paleo dens, the Bubbling Cauldron offers a variety of fare, in addition to the excellent paleo for which it has earned its great renown. Alright, I'm going to order some cloven cheer paleo, served in an engraved wooden vessel. Cloven cheer is a delightful, soothing mixture of strong paleo and sweet cherry-infused root wine. we're doing a thane. We're having both at the same time. Well, a thane porridge. The aroma of this steaming beverage, the house speciality, is always inciting and evocative, bringing to mind vivid imaginings of warm summer nights and the soft sight of fragrant breezes. After finishing the drink, you rattle your empty vessel against the edge of the table, as is the custom in many paleo dens, to show your appreciation of the well-crafted brew. And I do appreciate it. I would make the sound effect, but I don't really have anything to do that with. Could probably find something, but it just... nah. Order Black Sigil Paleo. What's that like? The Black Sigil Paleo proves to be strong, aromatic, bitter, but ultimately exceptional brew. After slowly allowing the beverage to cool from its near-boiling state, you slowly consume it, enjoying every last drop of the fortifying drink. When you're finished, you rattle your empty wooden vessel against the table edge, adhering to an old paleo den custom, showing your appreciation for another well-crafted brew. For the well-crafted paleo and lark bark. It rhymes, which makes it better. The first sip of the thick black brew that is Lark Bark Paleo is always a memorable, if not entirely pleasant, experience. Once you have come accustomed to the bitter taste of this strong paleo, you inevitably begin to take notice of a whole array of subtle flavours rife throughout the bold beverage. Upon finishing the paleo, you rattle your empty vessel against the edge of the table, adhering to an old paleo den custom, showing your appreciation for the well-crafted drink. Alright, now on to the ales. Fawn Mud Ale. It's not clear how this dark, amber-hued ale earned its odd moniker. Thorn Mud Ale proves to be as refreshing as it is fortifying. The subtle sweetness of the exceptional brew lingers on your tongue long after you set down your empty vessel. Loch Ledge Ale. Loch Ledge, an ale said to have first been crafted in Paleodon, is bitter and strong with a flavour reminiscent of overripe fruit. After emptying your flagon, you begin to feel slightly lightheaded. For the sensation quickly passes and you pay it no mind. Honey Drizzle Custard. Served in an engraved wooden bowl, this thick, hot, oaty custard drizzled with honey is both delicious and filling. I want some! There is always a cauldron of this custard simmering over the Paleo Den's central fire pit. Fictional people having better food than me! Order flatcakes. The bubbling cauldron's famous flatcakes, which are little more than flattened seared gobs of the Paleo Den's oaty custard, are favoured among its patrons. Served with paleo and drizzled with even more honey, the flatcakes are both flavourful and nourishing. We've got a suddenly! A flash of blue light suddenly erupts out of the small alcove set into the opposite wall. Okay, something's gone on with the small alcove. Let's have a look. Investigate the small alcove. The small alcove, set into the north side of the Paleo Den's spacious common room, is empty, save for a rather striking painting affixed to the wall. The curious piece of art is a masterful portrait of an aging, balding man with a short, cropped black beard, a long, angular nose, narrow jaw, and a set of thick eyebrows. As you gaze at the painting, you can't help but feel as if the subject's dark eyes are following your every move. A faint blue aura surrounds the painting. Will more happen? We'll see. Okay. That does seem to be all that happens here. Leave the Paleo Den. Yes. Okay, the thing about this, the adventure that unlocks is really big. So big that it takes two taverns to support it. Alright, let's go look for the other one. Alright, I'm just going to check which one. Okay, the place I've got to go is the Privordian Ale House, which is in Stoneway Coppice near Hawklaw. Set back from the edge of a well-travelled road that passes near Stoneway Coppice is the Privordian Ale House, an establishment owned by the famed adventurer Palantis. The sizeable wooden stone structure, its tiered roof an elegant array of slate-covered pitches and angles, is an imposing building that nonetheless exudes a welcoming aura to anyone who approaches. At almost any hour, the flickering glow of a well-tended fire emanates from the alehouse's many windows. Its unspoken promise of warmth and comfort, a beacon to the wary traveller. Enter the alehouse. The Privordian's spacious common room is always thronged with a slew of merry-making patrons busily consuming the alehouse's delectable assortment of food and drink. The enticing aroma of tetsuga, one of the alehouse's specialities, mingles with the subtle scent of melon-infused paleo. Alright, what is tetsuga? Tetsuga, a delicacy. Tetsuga, also known as egg brack in various locales, is a dish consisting of slightly charred wedges of bread smothered by a mould of scrambled eggs. This delicacy, popular throughout the North Broadlands, is prepared and served in a variety of ways, with most preparers seeing fit to augment the simple recipe with their own ingredients. For a long spell, tetsuga was considered a food synonymous with the lower stratum of society. Well, which probably means it's better, because when you don't have much money, you're only gonna spend something on food if it's good, or at least nutritious. through the discovery that the fair is a favourite of Thane Porrens, has helped to erode the stigma. Now, perhaps you can prepare your own Teskagars and share what they are on the Swift Discord. A grand fireplace serves as a hub around which a large number of folk have gathered. The propertia, the illustrious adventurer Palantis, can sometimes be found wandering amongst the crowd, though it's not uncommon for him to be away for months at a time. Well, adventurer. Adventurers do stuff and go places and fight things and find treasures and have adventures. That's kind of the key. An adventurer is someone who has adventures. The keeper, a young man named Froman, glances out over the busy room with a look of general disinterest. Let's speak with Froman. Froman, the Provordian's young but capable keeper, is a pleasant fellow who always seems prepared with a kind word or two for anyone seeking to bend his ear. Had a well-attired woodsman in here last autumn, says Froman, with a tale about a treasure, a curse, and a chest somewhere far off to the southwest. I felt it sounded somewhat sincere. But who's to say? The owl housekeeper concludes by saying he has to be mindful not to believe every tale he hears. That's good advice for anyone, at any time, he says, as he bids you farewell and returns to his duties. Now, I think what he actually says is a bit randomised. Had a quiet scoundrel come in this morning, says Fomorn, telling a tale about a ghost, a helm and a cloak, way off to the southeast. I believe it sounded somewhat plausible, but who's to say? The housekeeper concludes by saying he has to be mindful not to believe every tale he hears. That's good advice for anyone, any time, he says, as he bids you farewell and returns to his duty. So, only the second paragraph changes. Had a curious young man about earlier today, says Froman, with a tale about a wagon, a jewel, all and a magical torch far off to the west. I believe it sounded somewhat truthful, but how can I be sure? And again, had an ordinary merchant wander in here last month, says Froman, with a tale having to do with a cave, a hermit, and a magical torch somewhere to the southwest. Thought it sounded somewhat credible, but how can I be certain? Okay, I'll just two more. Had a pompous young man come in here a while back, says Froman, with a tale all about a goblin and a tower. Oh, only two this time. So we're off to the west. Thought it sounded somewhat credible, but how can I be certain? Speak with Froman. Had a friendly lad stroll in here a while ago, said Froman, telling a tale about a cave, a ghost and a caravan. Somewhere off to the southwest. Sounded likely plausible, but who can tell? If you can keep talking to him, you can get... Well, I'm not sure exactly how many different options there is, but probably thousands. Maybe even tens of thousands. Yeah, but just a little bit of randomization, just to keep you on your toes. Maybe inspire you to imagine some things. Alright, now to seek out food and drink. The alehouse serves all manner of food and drink. Through Teskagar and the melon-infused paleo, dewdrop paleo, remains its two most sought-after bits of fare. Well, let's have this Teskagar then. That costs one gold. They all cost one gold. The Teskagar proves more than worthy of its reputation, and leaves you feeling full and satisfied. Just when you're finishing your final bite of the sumptuous delicacy, a serving boy arrives at your table and sets down a steaming mug of dewdrop paleo. You manage to thank the boy before he scurries off to tend to other patrons. Alright, let's have some dewdrop paleo. The dewdrop paleo, this time on its own, is served in a heavy, rounded vessel. It's a dark, rich, melon-infused brew. After allowing the beverage to cool, you take your time consuming it, enjoying every sip as the paleo warms and fortifies you. Alright, now just some regular paleo. The tavern standard paleo, which is among the strongest you've ever tasted, leaves a pleasant, almost sweet aftertaste lingering on your tongue. As you slowly consume the contents of the steaming vessel, a sense of warmth spreads throughout your body. Order the day's stew. When you inquire about the contents of the day's stew, the serving boy who washes off to fetch you a bowl smirks and shakes his head. Moments later, the young server appears at your table and sets down a large wooden bowl filled to the brim with thick steaming broth, in which floats a variety of interesting bits. He then places a small plate of bread and cheese next to his stew, before scurrying off to tend to the never-ending requests of the Pavordian's demanding patronage. Despite its interesting appearance, the stew proves exceptionally delicious. Alright, now, I'm thinking, does it change? No, because he doesn't actually say what the interesting bits are. But presumably they do change. Order ale. A serving girl arrives to answer your call for ale, and immediately rattles off an impressive list of several brews currently available at the Pavordian. Well, we'll start with some copper bark ale. The copper bark ale is a delicious and frothy brew with a strong flavour that seems to hint at both pear and melon. While sipping your ale, you glance about the room and notice that several other patrons are enjoying the same. Order ale. The Frothing Fury Ale. The Frothing Fury, true to its name, proves a difficult beverage to manage, as it is randomly and profusely spills a torrent of foam over the sides of the flagon. Despite its seemingly volatile ale, the ale is exceptionally rich and fortifying, leaving you completely satisfied by the time you drain the last drop from your vessel. Very nice, very nice. More ale? Dragon's Eye Ale. At first sip, the Dragon's Eye Ale seems to be little more than a thin, tasteless brew in possession of an interesting moniker. However, after drowning nearly half your tankard, a warm feeling begins to spread throughout your body as the faint aroma of paleo and an aftertaste reminiscent of honey fills your senses. Interesting.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Wholesome Ale, Smoked Apple Ale. The Smoked Apple Ale, much as its name suggests, bears an almost overpowering aroma of baked apples. Which flavour to match? The brew proves exceptionally strong, and upon emptying a vessel, you feel slightly unsteady for several minutes. But only several minutes, because part of the thing of being an adventurer and a legendary hero is you have a super duper fast working liver. So no matter how drunk you get, no matter how much alcohol you consume, you'll be fine again in a few minutes. That's just how it works. It's just one of the traits of heroes, having super livers. Yeah, you didn't know? I mean, how else is it that I can just keep going through the list and just have ale, have ale, have ale, have ale, and just keep being fine? I have a super heroic liver. We have a startling crash mingled with the sharp sound of splintering wood spins your head in the direction of the airhouse door. Its remnants now strewn across the common room floor. Well, I hope whoever smashed that door didn't wreck the garden on the way. Because a lot of people worked very hard on that garden. It's really pretty. Framed in the doorway, its frightening bulk filling the entirety of the entry, is a fur-clad ogre. The fearsome club-brandishing beast. Snarling savagely, stomps across the threshold, where its thundering advance is met by a brazen trio of armed patrons. Can you handle this? Well, I don't know. Presumably, super skilled adventurers turn up here, and professional soldiers, but also a load of civilians. If they're just civilians, they might well be in over their heads. With a guttural bellow, the ogre, its eyes suddenly flashing red, swipes out at the three souls foolhardy enough to stand in its path, landing a series of death blows that sends the would-be defenders sprawling to the floor. Nope, looks like these were in over their head. The crimson glow radiating from the creature's eyes rapidly intensifies as the ogre turns its dazzling gaze upon you. Okay, this doesn't look to be just a regular ogre. Someone's done something to it. I'm going to assume crazy wizard. Grunting, its every footfall sending a tremor through the floor, the ogre plods in your direction, as shrieking patrons dash and dive for cover. Alright, I've got many options here. I could use elementalism, shadow magic, gating, telekinesis or archery for a mix of level 40 and 50, or I could just rush forward and engage the ogre. Wait. You know what this calls for? Random.org. Alright, we got three, so we're using gating. Succeeded. You channel your power of gating, and a swirling black vortex immediately opens to your right. Without delay, you spring into the portal, and almost instantly emerge from the second magical gate, directly behind the bewildered ogre. Seizing your momentary advantage, you deal the creature a staggering blow from behind. The wounded creature spins to face you, its broad face twisted into an expression of rage. Doing your best to avoid the savage swipes of its heavy club, you brazenly hold your ground against the wounded ogre. The creature's eyes flare with a fiery red glow. Is this just what happens when ogres get angry enough? I mean, it could be. We just never brought it up before. I'm really expecting crazy wizard messed around. Just some experiments of someone way down in the demon's ranks. Some sub vice Vice Junior Demon Squire. Or something like that. Anyway. Ogre wounded. I know it's wounded because I just wounded it. And I'm going to wound it some more. The ogre swipes at you with its heavy club. How heavy is this club? Well, we don't know. Because of all the size shifting I've been doing, we're not really sure. The enemy deals you a devastating blow. 22 damage. But it is slain. 6 XP. Suddenly, the ogre's eyes flare bright red, and a fearsome beast leaps to its feet with a savage snarl. You adeptly leap forward and attack the hulking creature, making certain its attention is riveted on you. This ogre has definitely been messed with. Because it's just come back to life. Begin combat. Swipes with its heavy club, and I swipe with my even heavier club. I'm going to say my club's heavier, just because. Almost done, and slain. 7 XP. The ogre crashes to the floor. Only to stagger back to its feet, its eyes blazing with an intense red light. With startling speed, the fiendish brute rushes at you. Its heavy club poised to deal you a deadly blow. Will third time be the charm? Begin combat. Devastating blow for 38 damage. That's quite a lot. But I mean, otherwise it's a regular 3 plus. Because I've just gone into a battle rage, which will help me finish it off. But will it be finished? We shall see. It is slain. 7 XP. Your final blow seals the ogre's fate. The hulking menace slumps into a bloodied heap at your feet, and expires as his heavy club clatters and slips from his lifeless grasp and clatters to the floor. Okay. I think the last phrase could do with a bit of tuning, but yeah. This time, the beast does not rise. Cleanup of the gruesome scene begins almost immediately. The Frellman, the alehouse's young keeper, promising free food and ale to those who dispose of the creature's carcass and tend to its splattered gore.
Oh, yes.
Yes, I think that, yes, it is rather disturbing. There you are, having a nice bit of paleo, and an ogre turns up. Yeah, kind of ruins the mood, but you get to see one of the great heroes of the age, in doing a bit of fighting. So definitely something to talk about. The attack by the ogre with the glowing eyes remains the dominant topic of conversation for several weeks following the fighting incident. But where did this ogre come from? In the days that follow, the alehouse door, shattered by a club-wielding brute, is replaced by an even sturdier and more ornate iron-banded set of stone planks. Now, I mean, if it was a regular ogre, we could just assume it just wandered, because that's what ogres do, and it attacked people, because that's what ogres do. You find yourself repeatedly asked to recite the tale of your brief but brutal confrontation with the ogre. Through many that witnessed the event seem content to relate their own version of the story, most of which feature an interesting array of details you don't seem to recall. Still, you can't help but wonder about the ogre's glowing eyes. And what sort of devilry such an anomaly may portend. 64 XP to General for finishing that little event. I speak with Thrillman. Yeah, he's not talking about you. He's just saying as before. Odd mercenary wandering here a while ago. says Thelbarn. Telling a tale about a bucket and a book somewhere far off to the southeast. I believe it sounded somewhat truthful, but who's to say? And... The keeper, a young man named Thelbarn, plays about the busy room with the general disinterest. Order some food and drink. Order the day's stew. Yeah, it's the same as before. Regular pale, same as before. Two drop pale, same as before. Tesco Gar, same as before. Okay, can't have any more. Sir Croakington is full up. Alright, we are at... let's examine the portrait next to the fire. The portrait. A masterful painting. Depicts an attractive young woman in blue finery, her hands folded on her lap, and her face bearing a stoic expression. As you examine the striking piece of art, you can't help but notice that its subject's deep blue eyes seem to follow your every move. Like that picture that we found in another tavern. Is it a coincidence? Quite likely, because apparently with the really good arts, the eyes following your every move thing just seems to be something that just happens. I think it's to do with... I don't know. Ask an art guy. I'm not an art guy. Not at all. I'll examine the portrait again. And again. Right, on the third time, we have a suddenly. As you turn away from the portrait, your gaze is subtly drawn to the face of this well-attired subject. Formerly stoic, the woman's countenance now bears a broad smirk. Okay, now something definitely is going on here. Examine the painting more closely. As you step closer to the portrait, your heart skips a beat when the woman in the painting suddenly blinks. Come over here, she whispers, her masterful likeness now fully emaciated. Please, I don't want anyone else to see me or hear what I'm going to tell you. Speaking in hurried whispers, the woman in the painting relates to you a strange, meandering tale that seems to involve an unfortunate turn of events from long ago. She tells you that she became trapped in her current state when the magic crafted by her significant other, a powerful mage who once served as her mentor, went terribly awry. He sought my hand in marriage, the miserable fool, she scoffs. But I would hear none of it. I only know now, after having had 2 centuries to consider everything, he must have truly loved me. What a pity I knew so little of such things way back then. Suddenly her expression changes to one of profound grief. And a tear streaks down her left cheek. Hey, be careful about that. You don't want to ruin your own paint. I wouldn't know how that's happened, but I'm pretty sure if you were to have your own paint run, it would be very, very bad. For all these years, I've tried to move, to speak, to wink, to do anything that might snare someone's attention. But I could not. Till I saw you, she says, sniffling. There's something about you that... Oh, never mind any of that. You have to help free me. But something I need to do. Nothing will ever be right until it's done. The painted woman, her features rapidly fluctuating between lifelike and surreal, as she turns her head inside the portrait, introduces herself as Grithera Longmarsh. Then, when you give no discernible reaction to pronouncement of her name, she frowns. Being stuck in a painting for 2 centuries takes its toll on even the best of names, she softly says. The long-masked mame. Name was once synonymous with some of the more venerable houses of magic, even the Grey Circle. For I can plainly tell that's no longer the case. I didn't expect it would still be so, but I'd be flirting with dishonesty if I didn't say I didn't hold out at least a small bit of hope. A bearded man shuffles past and casts a light, sidelong glance at the portrait, but appears to take no notice of anything out of the ordinary. Simpletons! Whispers Githair as the man moves away. They're all simpletons. Not you, of course. No, certainly not you. So how about me? How about it? You can help me? It's not just me you'll be helping. By the All Father, it's just me. Me, I wouldn't even... Well, it's not. So know that much. Githala, speaking softly and freezing in place any time someone passes too near, tells you that the wizard whose magic trapped her in this painting was himself ensnared in a portrait when his casting somehow went awry. I should have listened to him, to anyone. For there were warnings all about, she says. The darker magics are to be left alone. What is plain to me now wasn't so plain those many years ago. Peering behind, it was always clear in the looking ahead, I suppose. Gifaria tells you her investigation of a particular form of forbidden magic. She inadvertently set loose into the world. That in her investigation of a particular form of forbidden magic, she inversively set in loose into this world a powerful entity of shadow and magic. Yep, that does happen. That does happen when you delve into the deep, deep magic. Probably involving prying deep into the nevers. Because I'm not saying that always ends badly. But quite often it goes badly. Because there's all sorts of things in there. Some things we're not supposed to mess with. Keldarook the Wise, what everyone once called the man I knew as my mentor, she whispers, frowning. Considering all that happened, and not just the two of us, I should have... Never mind. All of that's in the past. I can only now look with hope to what lies ahead. A painted image momentarily freezes as a look of fear crosses her face. It wasn't easy figuring it all out, she whispers. But when you're not a complete idiot and you have 200 years to spend dwelling on something, well, you'll be amazed at what you can come up with. Now, listen carefully. You listen with glowing interest as Sophalia tells you that the key to her escape from a painted prison contained in 7 flat grey stones, each bearing the glyphs resembling the insignia of Cladderwock. You learn that a split second before he disappeared into the portrait, in which he presumably remains trapped to this day, Cladderwock summoned one last bit of magic in an effort to contain the malevolent entity. I saw his arm shoot out, even as he was sucked into the painting, she says. And I watched that creature of shadow take form and turn into the 7 stones I just described. Oh, I'm guessing that these 7 stones are just something that he had just had handy for sucking up demons. Good old Cladderwock, I suppose. Always a trick up his sleeve, some might say. When you inquire about the glyph-marked stones, Cathara's face falls and she sighs. So we come to it. Githala reveals she believes that Cladderwock's last desperate act before he became imprisoned in a portrait? Was it intended to do more than defeat the vile entity? When you spend countless hours watching a master mage's gestures, learning to discern the subtle movements of the hand and fingers, it's not that all that difficult to figure out what sort of magic is being channeled, she says. I'm certain, at the very core of my being, that Calderwork infused the stones with one of his famous counterspells, one to undo the magic that put us in these forsaken paintings. She pauses and fixes you with the hardened gaze. It would seem that our last hope of escape is to find those stones, she says. It goes without saying that I need your help to find them. Githara tells you that she does not know where to begin looking for the 7 glyph mark stones, though she's certain they are scattered throughout the kingdom. I have my reasons for believing it, she says softly. I still have contact with the no longer living, in a way. I don't know if all that they tell me is to be trusted, but from their whispers, I've gathered the glyphs are scattered throughout Tysa. Where precisely? I'm afraid I don't know. You're startled when Kuthera abruptly reveals that if she's ever released from the painting, she'll no longer be protected by the preserving magic and will almost certainly perish. I may drop dead the moment I'm freed, within days, weeks, or year. It's of no real consequence, she says in a low voice. After all, I've supposedly been dead for the last 200 years. But there's something I'd like to do before the deepest of shadows take me. Actually, there are things to which I'd very much like to attend. I'd only need a moment or two to do it. I can still see them, both of them. It's all so long overdue, and quite sad, alas though. For it all hinges upon your luck at finding those stones and getting me out of here. Oh, how I've come to hate this painting. All paintings, for that matter. Another of the Pavordian patrons walks by, glances at the painting and nods at you before continuing to the far side of the room. Don't, mutters Gefale after he's gone. You can't possibly understand how torturous it is to sit here day after day and feast my eyes on this rabble. It's maddening. Even Cladenwook's company is to be preferred. Githara bluntly asks if you would find and retrieve the 7 stones bearing Calderwork's glyph and free her from the portrait prison. Before you can respond, Githara's piercing blue eyes adopt a bright greenish hue as icy fingers claw at the edge of your psyche. What? Something's happened. For several unnerving moments, you find yourself frozen in space, your gaze transfixed by the unblinking stare of the portrait prisoner. Suddenly, before panic sets in, the glow fades from Githela's eyes, and you're once again able to move. I wasn't certain that would work, given the trying nature of my circumstance, she whispers, but it seems to have done so. I believe it's called Death Hex. So I prefer to consider it an added motivation for your impending heroics. I can dispel the hex I've just placed upon you, but not until I'm freed from this painting. You listen in shock and horror. Horace, Githera tells you, the death hex you now bear will cause you to meet an untimely demise exactly 1 year from today, unless it's removed. Well, let's just hope it doesn't take us more than a year to get those glutes, get those glyphs. This is a death hex. It's got an encumbrance of one, somehow. The death hex isn't something you can anyway sense, but it remains ever present, waiting until time has arrived for it to execute its dark function. It would be wise to seek out the means necessary for removing this deadly curse. You need not worry about that, she whispers, because I know you're keenly inspired to find those glyphs. Glyphs that help me out of my predicament. Or should I say, you best be, if you place any value at all in your life. Sorry, it wasn't right for me to say that. It weighs by a cruel and underhanded tactics. Your first instinct is to tear the portrait from the wall and hurl it into the fire. Though you manage to stay your hands. Instead, you angrily demand to know why she felt the need to resort to such dire measures to clear their frowns. The hex won't let you do anything that would directly endanger me. All these paintings, he says, as if having discerned your original intent. Now look, this isn't something I feel all that good about, but it's necessary. And besides, we're beyond any such considerations. You're stuck with the hex, and I need to be set free. And not for my own sake. Either we satisfy that arrangement, or we both will restore what is to come. A fearful look suddenly passes over Clothara's face, as her painted features, which have become incredibly lifelike, begin to rapidly revert to their original state. Githella, her movement on the surface of the portrait now slow and rigid, speaks in a quick, gravelly whisper. I'm sorry about the hex, she croaks. Find them stones, and all will be set right. Begin your search, the bubbling cauldron, by the falls, near Moonlight Lake. I've heard he's there, somewhere. Oh, I guess he was that other painting we noticed, Benir Garthro, and mind most of what you might hear. There are, after all, as they say, two sides to every story. A voice immediately momentarily fades out. Through it strengthens, just long enough for her to wish you luck and make a final gentle utterance. If you see Garthro, if you ever speak to him, tell him that I... With that, the portrait returns to its original state. For you are quite certain you'll never be able to look upon it the same way again. Haunted by Githera's description of the death hex he placed on you, your anger over the incident swiftly transformed into a firm resolve to rid yourself of the curse. Recalling what was told you by the painting's imprisoned subject, you decide your best course of action is to seek out Catherwick's seven stones and hope you can somehow use them to free Githella, and she'll keep her word and dispel the hex. With these thoughts churning in your mind, you step away from the portrait and prepare to embark on what you hope will not prove to be a fool's errand. The seven glyphs of Clatterwork. The seven glyph mark stones you need to find are hidden in various places throughout the kingdom. Be sure to search far and wide. The stones could be anywhere. As mentioned by Githala, your hunt should begin at the bubbling cauldron near Fairy Falls, in Moonlight Lake region of Western Telsa. Alright, and now we're just back to the regular Pivordian alehouse. Now we've just passed 1 hour, so this seems like a good place to stop. Alright, I'm in Hawkclaw, fully restored and saved. So in the next episode, we'll be going to the bubbling cauldron. to presumably meet up with Cladderwook. Well, I know that because I've done this before, but for, as far as Sir Croakington, it's presumably to meet up with Cladderwook and then start the search for these seven glyphs, which I feel might take a while, so long that it will be multiple episodes. But anyway, until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.